This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour of our Thursday. Brock and Salk, your 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. That was pretty fun, man, with Schlereth and Evans. We should do more of that. I agree with you, and we'll see if we can get some of that done over the course of the year. If you missed it, great simulcast with our sister station over in Denver, and you can catch it in about 2 hours at our podcast page, 710sports.com, or on the 710 Sports app, which, of course, is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Every minute of every show on demand there and streaming live there as well.
Got a few friends in the Denver area that were listening on their end, and they said the same thing, like, man, that was really fun. You guys should do that more often. Why are you looking at me that way?
Well, because they're taping it. They couldn't have listened to it live. That was on tape.
Oh, well, both of them must
maybe they were listening to us here.
Yes.
Yeah. So they taped it, actually. Just a little theater of the mind.
Oh, really?
They taped it because their show actually ends.
Oh, so they'll run it tomorrow?
9 o'clock Denver time. So they were off the air. But they're going to run it as if it were live tomorrow.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
That is kind of weird.
Way to blow a surprise.
You can do that in radio?
Well, yeah. You can. But it was almost a simulcast.
Yeah.
What do you call that? Like, we were live, they were not, but they're going to pretend.
It's just a cast.
Whole cast of characters.
That was a pretty good cast. Yeah, anyway, it was a lot of fun. I like talking to those guys, and we'll get ready to maybe try to do some more of those over the course of this year. Meanwhile, tonight, Brock, is the debut of Hawks Live. Every Thursday, starting tonight at 7 o'clock at Pearl Seafood and Oyster Bar in Bellevue. A preview of this week's game, an in-person player interview, Hawks Live, brought to you by Heritage Distillings, Batch Number 12 Vodka, Legendary Donuts, and Pearl Seafood and Oyster Bar. Dave Wyman in the lead host chair for it this year, along with Paul Moyer. They're going to have a blast and a lot of cool preview stuff with those guys. Space limited, so get in there and go see the guys at Pearl starting tonight. All right, Pete Carroll spoke yesterday. It had to have been the strangest day for him. It had to have been the strangest day in that building as Earl just all of a sudden decides, hey, I'm showing up. And I don't know that they had much of an indication that
it was
going to happen ahead of time.
He really didn't, right? It's our understanding now. We did know that Earl came back to bring his daughter to school. That was some of the thought process as she started school again here. And, well, he was at least in the market. But outside of that, our understanding is they didn't know either. That a lot of it was news to them that now maybe they knew before we did at 9 or whatever
they haven't known for a week that this was coming. It was like, oh my God, Earl's showing up today. That must have been nuts. What do you think? Like, what do you think if you're Pete and John and you're sitting there together getting ready for the day and all of a sudden it's like, hey, Earl's showing up. Do you think he's just going to walk in this door? Like, what do you think they're saying to each other?
He's going to walk upstairs? Think he's got something to say to you and to me and to everybody up here? Do you think he's just come in and be the good cop? Do you think he's going to be able, after he notes his disrespect, to put that on the side and note that I've got disrespect, but now it's time to go out and ball and be who I am?
It's
got
to be such an interesting job to be in Pete and John's shoes. Because as the coach and GM of this team, they have to eat it a lot. They have to just eat it. When the player comes at them and says they're doing this wrong, and Sherm says kumbaya, this and that, and Earl's saying I'm being disrespected, they don't fight back.
Nope.
Pete will not fire back. In fact, quite the opposite yesterday.
Earl returned today. It's really good to have him back. He's been with us for so long. He's just been part of the fabric of what we've been about. And it's an adjustment period, you know, as he jumps in with us now. We'll figure out how that works, and we'll get through it. He already is on the field with our guys, and he'll practice today. So we'll see what that all means. I don't have any thought about what to share with you on that one right now, because we got to just see how he does and how he feels and all that kind of stuff. But it's great to have him back.
I mean, he just, you know, if Pete wanted to, he could say, yeah, it's ridiculous. He says that he's being disrespected. How is he being disrespected? We're being disrespected. Yeah. Show up and play out your contract, Earl, and allow us to actually plan for a season. But Pete doesn't say any of that. John Schneider doesn't come out and say any of that. Hey, I signed this guy to a contract, and for whatever reason, he thinks he gets to decide where he's going to play. He already chose where he wanted to play. It was here. Sorry if you don't like the contract, but that's the way they work in the NFL. Don't know what to tell you, dude. Yeah. But they don't say any of that.
Yeah,
quiet and eat it.
I think fortunately for Pete, and just through experience of being around different programs, seeing it done different ways, and collegiately somewhat similar, Mike. You know, it's a little different. Money's not involved, but families are, recruiting is, there's a lot of other stuff, high school coaches, a lot of other moving parts there. But I think this is where Pete's consistency of being pretty positive in looking at what they do well rather than focusing on the negative and living in that dark, dank, depressed world, where it honestly is an enormous factor in his success over the last couple decades. Is he just doesn't. He doesn't look at that. Or if he does, he quickly flushes that. Okay, so Earl's here. How can we spin this thing positive? Like, how is it going to fit? How are we going to make this thing work? I mean, he really does. I think he immediately clicks into that mode and that messaging, and it's consistent. He's not like some of the people I've been around.
But you don't think
and some of the programs I've been around that say one thing, do another, feel this way to that person, like behind the scenes or just all over the board. I think Pete is pretty.
I'm sure he
systematic
is.
In that.
But
way.
That doesn't mean he's not annoyed. That doesn't mean he doesn't know that Earl Thomas potentially, if he had just shown up and done his job,
the one guy Pete was thinking about yesterday the most, and I believe this fully, the one guy that he was thinking about the most yesterday, once Earl walked in the door, I think the next thing beyond just clicking into that positivity was Tedrick. I don't think that's a absolute next reaction. How's this going to affect him? This is a guy I've been praising. This is this guy that's done everything right. He's been at everything. He's played very well for us, as you heard Mark Schlereth say.
Yep.
Like, man, that secondary's been pretty knitted together in the preseason, played a lot of ball. So I think his next immediate thought was, okay, how are we going to handle this with Tedrick moving forward?
We're going to be talking through this here over the next 20 minutes, half hour or so. If you guys want to jump in and comment on any of this, 206-421-3776. Phone lines will be open if you have some thoughts remaining here on Earl, or if anything you hear from Pete or from us kind of jogs you into wanting to say something. 206-421-3776. Texter says, Earl's just going to have an injury and be out for the year. That's his plan. I'd be real careful of that. The problem Earl runs into is if the Seahawks decide to franchise him, which is their right for next year, the franchise tag number for a safety is lower than what he's making now. So if they decide to tag him, it's like $9 million, somewhere in that range for a safety. So what, he's going to go from making 13 to making 9? I don't see him wanting to play that level of hardball.
Yeah,
I don't think that works.
He's got to prove to the rest of the league he can still do this.
Yeah, I don't think getting injured and taking your IR money this year is a good long-term strategy.
Now, I will
strategy.
Say, though, to that texture, I'm not going to say that thought didn't go through my mind. I'm not going to say that all of a sudden he has a hamstring, and not even a fake injury, a legitimate.
Now, if it's real, it is what it is, but there's no way
tears his Achilles. I mean, something just comes up here because you have been out of football mode for 9 months.
Yeah.
You've done nothing with this team for 9 months, and then all of a sudden you think you can come in and snap your fingers and go.
Doug Baldwin, pretty excited to see his teammate and friend back.
Oh, man, ecstatic. When I saw him sitting down in the meeting room, I couldn't help but just go give him a big hug. You know, it's my boy. Love him to death. You know, you grow with somebody, you see somebody work for so long, just how they operate, the type of person they are, you know, and it's really hard to come by guys who, you know, who think out of this stratosphere, as Bobby would like to call it. So it was really exciting to have him back.
Can I spin this in a positive way that I have not yet in any of this conversation for 9 months with Earl? That I didn't yesterday, that I don't think I've said this once over the summer as well, and I don't think this is straight Pollyanna. Or maybe it is, and you can just kind of like Schlereth's co-host, you can cut me off in my knees. But what if there is a possibility that Earl comes in here and is like, dang, all right, this place has changed. Okay, Pete, all right, I see what you're doing here. This actually feels like it did 8 years ago. Like, man, these young bucks here, some of them growing up an awful lot. And I kind of like these dudes you've drafted. And these Griffin, okay. I mean, honestly, what if there is that very positive opportunity that for all the kind of vitriol and for Earl's comments, like, I know me, I will never go back there, I won't ever set foot there until they respect me and everything else. Not that that flushes, because he's going to have that edge and that chip there. That's not going away. But what if on the positive side of just culturally, like, this feels a whole lot better and a whole lot different than it did the last couple seasons.
If he's thinking that now, or if he's going to end up thinking that?
Just in the coming days, as he gets back to work yesterday and he sees Doug, and Doug's like, hey, man, it's a little different. Right? And he sees Bobby, and he gets out on the practice field yesterday, and he feels some of Tedrick and some of that.
Here's the problem I have with that. You may be right, but here's the problem I have believing it. I worked my whole life for this. I've never let my teammates, city, or fans down as long as I've lived, and I don't plan on starting this weekend. With that being said, the disrespect has been well noted and will not be forgotten. Like, unfortunately, that's
a feeling going in.
That's hard to let go.
That was a feeling going in.
I don't know. I appreciate where you're trying to go, and you might be right. I'm not saying it's
that would be
true.
By the way, best
that'd be
case,
hard for me.
But that would be best case.
It's
scenario.
Hard for me. This one's hard for me because short term, it's fun to have Earl back. Long term, I still think it's a mistake. And I still think they should trade him. 206-421-3776. Grab a couple of your calls here in a few minutes. A couple other things from the team. Bobby Wagner, who has been involved heavily in talking about Earl. He was the one who came on our show in the offseason and said, hey, Earl, we need you back. He was asked about it yesterday.
I feel good, man. It was pretty cool seeing him walk in the meeting room and, you know, get a guy like that back. You know, I know he's probably been going through a lot, so I feel like it was just important for us to just kind of embrace him and know that, you know, he was on our hearts while he wasn't here and, you know, and just welcome him back.
Did you feel like in any way you wanted to be an arbiter, like with Bobby and Earl? Like, did you want to go down
you
there?
You know, I am done with
that. Is that to say that Earl can now put his name back in his mouth?
Like yesterday, as you heard some of that sound, you think, you know, maybe I should go down there. I kind of did it the first
time. Are you done? Are you guys done, all of you? Lydia, don't think I don't know how you played a role in this, your little sheepish brain back there. No, good. I'm glad to see this is continuing.
We're not done.
Kyle, please help me. They're being incredibly mean to me.
I've had your back for like 75-80% of the day.
I appreciate that. Thank you. That was like
real vote of confidence.
All right. 206-421-3776. This is a bad idea. If and when I'm having a tough day and everyone's being mean to me, Jesse and Bothell's the last person I should be talking to. What's up, Jesse? How are you?
What up, boys? How we doing?
Not good. Everyone's being mean to me today.
Well, get Earl out of here. Who's in charge? What's going on here? We're just going to let this guy march on in and just, like, forget all that he said and all that he's done? That's a joke.
What would you do?
Get rid of him. Trade him for a fifth-rounder to the Browns, for all I care. You can't just let somebody who's had all that disrespect and said all that he said about the Seahawks and the whole organization and then just let him march on in.
All right, so let me ask you this.
And then you want to forgive all his fines, too?
First of all, I don't think they're doing that. I don't even think they're forgiving half, as he reported. I don't think that's happening. But let me ask you this question, Jesse. Would you rather trade Earl for, let's say, the best they could do right now is a second-round pick? I don't even know if that's true. But let's say right now you could get a second-round pick for Earl today. Or you could let him come back, play a few weeks, find another safety that gets injured elsewhere, get a bidding war between Dallas, who doesn't have a free safety, and this other team. And at the end of it, you end up getting 2 seconds or a second and a third just for bringing him back for a few weeks. Would that be worth your time?
I'll tell you what I would do. At this point, the Seahawks have a reputation of being soft as an organization. You got to make a point. There's a principle here. You can't just let players walk all over you.
See, I think I disagree with you. I think they did a great job here. They didn't capitulate. They're not negotiating with him. They're not going to sign him to a long-term deal. All they've ever asked him to do is to play out his contract, and now they're making him do it.
Based on what you just said in the quote on Instagram saying, oh, it's been well noted, who's to say that's not going to affect his play on the field?
No one's to say that. I mean, but the one you're
like,
right.
Why would we risk that? That we have a team that we're trying to rally together.
You're risking it, Jesse, to see if you can get more back for him in return. To see if you can get a better haul when you trade him.
Yeah, I think the players have worked throughout the dog days of summer. They've bonded, and he hasn't been there. And people aren't going to look to this guy as a leader if he's setting an example of being selfish and saying, "Oh, my disrespect's been well noted." I think that's disrespectful. I don't know.
Jesse, you got kicked out of the top five yesterday. You know, I mean, we just had a couple.
No, you know what? I got a text from a buddy that did. Man, I've been busy with work, but my buddy's like, dude, you just got booted.
You did, yeah. Todd and Kirkland had a really good call. You got booted, but I gotta say, after today,
congratulations, you've made the top five.
I mean, that's how you get back in, right, Brock?
How's that feel, Jesse? Dream come true.
It feels pretty good. One of these days, I want to pull a Roger. I'm going to avenge Roger in Tacoma. I'm going to come in for an hour. You guys got to get me in there.
That's not going to happen.
Top five meals that I have ever had in my entire life.
Jesse's never coming in here ever.
There is risk on both sides of this.
I agree with so much of what Jesse had to say. Yep. I agree with so much of that.
Yes, you would love to have that.
I would.
But you don't got the stones to have that take like Jesse and Papa.
No,
does.
I mean, I do think that's what I would like to see them trade him. But I also think that there is probably more common sense in letting him come in, play for a little bit, and see if you can
get
more.
So is this a total business play, do you think? I mean, they too had to react a little bit like we did over the last 24 to 36 hours. Do you think they could immediately make that business play and say, there is risk, positive and negative? There is. Nike, there is risk with what you're doing here in your advertising, positive and negative. There is a risk associated with this. And there is risk on the positive side that people are going to get more desperate. Case in point, Seattle Seahawks, you know, with injuries and going after Dwayne Brown and making that deal. And even after, you know, what's his name, failed the physical. Okay, we got to sweeten the pot. Like, all right, Jeremy Lane, we got to do this deal. So there's that upside possibility. But to Jesse's point, isn't there equally a downside? if this dude don't really want to play, if he's totally selfish, if he does pull a hamstring.
But I think what an economist would say here is that you just have his, it's in his best interest to play well. It's in your mutually best interest for him to play well. And so I get what you're saying. You're right. There's some risk associated. And does he truly want to play in this and that? But I think it's just too much in his good interest, in his best interest, to play okay, well and
now,
get himself
now,
whatever the big deal is he
now,
wants.
What about the other one that is going to be impossible for any of us on the outside to gauge? What the folks on the inside thought? What's Hedrick and Delano? Well, and I mean, to Jesse's point of, hey, man, we've been here grinding for 9 months.
Doug Baldwin
was
Doug. Doug gave him a hug. And those are the two leaders on the team.
And everybody else just follows suit. That all the other young guys, Trey, Tedrick, the rest of them, all just got to get in line behind that? Or is this, hold on, this was a program built on this competition?
Well, maybe it depends on how they handle it now yes. that he's back. Does he compete for that job against Tedrick Thompson, or is he just immediately handed that starting job? And I guess
and
that's
by the way, does Little Richard down there in Santa Clara, does Little Richard look at this and watch this closely and say, oh, look how soft they are. Like, they're just going to welcome Earl back, aren't
question.
They? Very oh, Bill Belichick, you think he would do that? Or, oh, to Jesse's point about, man, if this program is really this and you've got teeth in your program.
Well, they were hard enough with you, Richard. They tossed you when they were ready to. 206-421-3776, Jess in Spokane. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, just want to bring up the idea, not that I am necessarily in favor of this, but what are the possibilities that they – explore the idea of trading Tedrick Thompson? I mean, they've spent the whole training camp and off season talking up, you know, how great he's been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's, I mean, to me, you know, that's a
I'm going to say zero. Yeah, I love the outside the box. I'm going to say zero. I'm going to say Tedrick's got very little trade value out there because he hasn't played, and even more so, he's got enormous benefit of your cost control, that he is dirt cheap as far as labor goes for the next couple years as a fourth-round pick. And I think on both of those fronts, you know, that that would be, I think, nearly impossible.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Also, they're going to need him because I don't think Earl Thomas is going to be here even for this entire season, let alone beyond that. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't see that happening. And Tedrick's going to have to play some this year, Brock. Even if Earl plays, you're going to have to see what you have in Tedrick Thompson. That means he's got to play this season. 206-421-3776, Marty's in Kennewick. What's going on, Marty?
Oh, you know, I'm just getting ready to hit some golf balls and listen to your conversation about Earl. So my take is that the guy since day one, since I've noticed, is he's kind of been on the field, kind of the showboater, the all about me type, and you could just see he didn't have the team first, I don't think, and so to me, a guy like that who's always been for himself, he's just going to be like a poison for the team, mm-hmm. and it showed in his comments that he made earlier that. If you bring him in now, Jeez. He's just going to be—he's going to be a poison.
Right, that's intense. You think Earl's always been for himself?
I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know about always, Marty. Always, or maybe the last year plus when he didn't get his money.
You know.
Always, Marty. Always.
What do they play for? What do you show up to work for every day? Is it for the camaraderie or
for the relationship?
The joy of talking to Brock. What could possibly be better?
It's fully the relationship of this family.
Talking to you guys on the phone, Jesse and Bothell. I mean, like any opportunity I have to do that,
Marty. You know I work for free, right? Like I don't draw one penny from this company.
Look for the opportunity to stomp on Howdy whenever given the opportunity. I mean, like there's a lot of reasons to come to work.
By the way, bro. And I know this poll changed just a little bit because literally 5 minutes after it went up, Earl comes walking in the door.
That poll's tainted.
Yeah, but 4,000 people. You realize it was nearly 50-50, 51-49.
Yeah, but it's tainted because now he's back. It's one thing when he's holding out. It's another one when he's back.
Are these phone calls tainted?
Yeah.
That some people say are going to say, hey, welcome him back. We love him. And others are like, get your name out of my mouth.
Well, no, it's just the two different questions. One is with the premise that Earl's holding out and could be out for 8 weeks. The other is he's going to be ready to play in week one.
And the other is people would just invite him back with open arms. Right.
Oh, I would have assumed that would happen. I would assume that it'd be pretty split on that a lot of people would welcome him back with open arms mm-hmm. and that others would say, forget this. I'm not interested at this point. I've moved on. It's the battle waging in my head right now.
And I guarantee you it's the battle with those human beings sure. in that locker room, that Doug and Bobby, who won Super Bowls with him, who know he's one of the greatest to ever play this game, that have been right. there and done it. But by the way, how many of those guys in that locker room now or even there then.
The argument that that works best there is that the Seahawks, if Mike Evans wants to come on the show as he did last hour and say that the Seahawks are rebuilding, I think that he's got a point, but I don't fully agree. If you want to come in and say that the Seahawks are getting back to what their identity is and restructuring the personality of this team, then I would 100% agree. And the problem with bringing Earl back is that it's more of the old style and less of the new. Now, I don't know whether he's more Richard Sherman, Michael Bennett, or if he's more Cam Chancellor, Cliff Avril. I don't know the answer to that. Mm. But the Seahawks are going to have to, because that's a big part of what they're doing right now. 206-421-3776. Grab Steve, the Dallas dude. Steve, what's up?
Hey, man. First of all, I want to say, Salk, I got your back, man. You know, I might not be that big, but I got your back, man.
Thank you, Steve. I need it today. There's been mean to me from the moment I walked in.
I think, you know, to be honest with you, he's important to the secondary, to that backfield. I mean, to the back end of that defense. That's why, you know, he's welcome back with open arms. But, you know, I just wish Dallas would have had more pull the lever and gave you guys a little bit more so he can come over to that side. You know, that would be great.
Always about
one track
you
mind on
Cowboys.
You, Steve. It's always about you. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because somebody just texted or tweeted this to me at Flying in a Dream One. Can we please stop, Salk? I love Earl Thomas. Okay, fine. But the picture or the little video of it, I guess it's a GIF, is of Earl, and I'd totally forgotten about this, when he runs over, hugs the referee, and like spins the guy around.
So
the ref's
good.
Just like, what are you doing? Get off of me. Look at this picture. Look at how confused the ref is. He just like runs over, bear hugs him, and spins him around like a dance partner while he's like almost humping the guy's leg.
And then the 15-yard penalty came out. Some sportsmanlike conduct right there.
It's the weirdest thing an NFL player has ever done. 206-421-3776. Want to take some more of your phone calls? Plus, we got sound on non-Earl-related matters, including the most inspiring thing I think we'll see on Sunday. Don't go anywhere. Got a lot still to come here on Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, phone lines 206-421-3776. And it's more than that. We got text messages coming in. We'll answer the question jerk in 15 minutes to talk through whatever it is that you guys have on your mind. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Any question on any subject? We got some remaining Earl people on the phone. Want to grab a few of those. But also a reminder that, you know, there's other things going on this weekend with this game. You're talking about Seahawks and Broncos, and we'll be probably previewing it a little bit more tomorrow. The Denver Broncos record in Denver in September is insane.
Yeah, they're 17-1 in home openers this century at home.
Crazy number, 17-1. I mean, for whatever reason, playing in that environment, in that climate, at that altitude,
and that's with some slappies
in
quarterback. Right, I mean, over the last few years, that's not all John Elway. In fact, it's none at all. I mean, it's a whole gang of different quarterbacks through the years. But that noise, that's one of the most difficult places, one of the most collegial places in all the NFL. They are going to be hyped up out of their minds. Their pass rush, as you heard from Schlereth and Mike Evans earlier, is legit. And Bradley Chubb, their first round pick, is just an absolute monster. One of my favorites on the college football trail. So that's going to be difficult. Now, throw in the altitude, and it's going to be 87 degrees.
And who's going to be playing for you? That's a big question. It sounds like DJ Fluker did not practice yesterday, which means big right guard may be unavailable. We'll wait and see what the report looks like today and tomorrow. J.R. Sweezy may end up playing right guard. Now, some good news on the other side. Everyone worried about the pass rush, myself included. If Deion Jordan is healthy and able to go, this is a guy who can get to the quarterback. Pete Carroll gave an update yesterday.
Similar approach. Yeah. He looks good. He's ready to go. So he's got a chance to play this week.
That's pretty good. I mean, he looks good. He looks ready to go. That sure sounds like you're at least, maybe he's not going to start. Maybe he's not going to play 80% of the plays, but that sure sounds like you're going to get some Deion Jordan rush in the passer.
Yes.
That's big.
Yeah, and they will have a governor. That I can assure you. With all of these guys, there's going to be a governor. And to my frustration over the years, it's often been, yep, he's not going to go. He's not going to go. What do you mean he's not going to go? You got to win this game. No, you don't win championship in September. All right, you've got to be able to close out a season, have everybody there for a 16-game stretch. So whether it's Fluker, whether it's Jordan, KJ's already been ruled out, that they are going to be very guarded and very careful in September.
The other thing that you're going to see in Mile High with thin air in the opening game of the year is Michael Dixon bombing punts. What is that going to look? Has anyone gotten really prepared themselves for watching Michael Dixon bomb punts in Denver?
Who was it? What was the tire?
I can't believe I'm getting this excited about punts. Was it Goodyear? But I am.
The tire company that did those funky commercials, like you know,
oh, where just things. Yes. Wasn't it Gatorade who did? Oh, I know you with the weird footballs.
Yes,
I was thinking of the.
You want the other one right now?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a better one. I bet John wasn't this picky with the net.
Why all these bags?
Yeah, he's a finicky guy.
He may kick it out of the stadium.
But he bombs punts. Pete Carroll excited.
You couldn't have imagined, you know, all of the things that he does kicking the football. And his, he's just, you know, he's just grown up differently than other kids that, that kick the football. And it's been really a marvel to see the things, you know, his control. And I think when he gets really comfortable with the situations in the games and all that, you'll see him flourish. He's not at his best right now. He's going to be better as he continues to grow.
It's hard to imagine. Now you put him in that environment and just let him destroy the ball. That's, I don't know. I've never thought about being excited about a punter like this before, but I am. I'm legitimately excited to watch Michael Dixon, see what he does, and see how he bothers the Broncos in an actual game.
I mean, he can get better. Going into the final preseason game, he was averaging 52 yards.
Punt the ball 80 yards.
7.3 hang time. Yeah, in that thin air. And
it's going to be like that old commercial. Remember the commercial they had where Vic threw the ball and it just like kept going and going and going forever, for like over the waves and stuff? Like, don't you think that's what it's going to look like, him punting in Denver?
Man, I loved it. I love throwing in that environment.
The other thing you're going to see, Brock, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just did. I loved it's absolutely noticeable. The heat and the warmth, the humidity feel good late in the season going down and throwing and punting. Same thing with thin air.
Do you worry about Russell overthrowing in that? Like, haven't we sometimes seen this is when he starts throwing over the heads of receivers early in the game?
I worry about the Seahawks in 85-plus temperature.
Yeah, they've had trouble in San Diego and a few of those other spots over the years.
Yep. That I worry about a little bit more than the altitude and Russell a little bit too amped up. Like, they've got to get over that hurdle. They got to go out and win on the road in the season opener, something that's been difficult to do as well.
They're going to start Shaquem Griffin in this game.
Say that again?
Shaquem Griffin is going to start his first game in the NFL, a guy who plenty of people didn't think was draftable, a player with one hand. He's going to start as a rookie first game of the year.
Kyle, what did you say the ESPN headline was?
One-handed Griffin to start at linebacker for Seahawks.
Amazing. I mean, a fifth-round pick that you're sitting there, that the I think collectively the NFL world was waiting to see, okay, who's going to take this guy? Right? Yeah. And I just remember Rich Eisen's words. I think I will remember it for as long as I do this job. Like, when he was selected, Rich Eisen said what every one of us said. There it is. There it is. Just with this joy of there it is. Mm. Oh, and of course, it's going to be Seattle. And he and his brother, identical twins are going to start on the same. Think about that.
It's amazing.
The last tweet from the Washington Post, not their sports section, from the Washington Post. Shaquem Griffin, Seahawks one-handed rookie, will start the opener.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, when you really like pause to think about it, yesterday was the anniversary of Jim Abbott throwing his no-hitter. Mm-hmm. You know, there have only been a couple of athletes, professional athletes in the big leagues or you know, NFL, baseball, et cetera, that have reached that level, overcoming something like that.
I'm getting a little bit of goosebumps here.
Yeah, you should. It's amazing. It's an incredible story.
A little bit of goosebumps in thinking... I know the answer is Russell. And some of it's because we talked about Russell so much. And some of it was everybody hated on him. And so many people didn't think he could do it. And we rooted so hard for him.
Yeah.
So hard for his success. Remember that in the preseason, regular season? There's not been a player since Russell that I will be rooting more for than 49. I'm going to be rooting. And I know, I just can imagine how much – just goodwill comes Sunday afternoon, right? When we're all watching this game at home in this market, and the ratings will be through the roof, and everybody's going to be watching, and everybody collectively is going to be, not because of one hand, but just because of who and what he is.
Yeah, we got a texter here. This is one thing everyone needs to do is stop talking about his one hand. Look, that'll happen over time as he kind of proves himself and shows what kind of a player he is. I mean, as somebody who has, you know, one good hand and one that was essentially ruined in a water skiing accident when I was 12, I wouldn't mind that at all if I were in his shoes, and I don't think he does. Over time, it's got to be his play that carries him, not the fact that he's unique, but his play, I think, is what's going to eventually do the thing, and that's what makes it so incredible. his play is good enough that it's not some feel-good story. It's the fact that, he's a good enough player that it doesn't matter how many hands he has.
And most important to him is he sat down with you and I a couple weeks ago and we talked through some of this. For him as a Seahawk is this.
I mean, whatever they need me to do, I'm willing to do it. You know, for me, I just want to be a good teammate. You know, and I talk to KJ all the time, and even when he went down there and make sure that he was okay and make sure he recovered fast and hurry up and get back. But, no, for me, it's just me just being a good teammate. I mean, they asked me, you know, what's my goals, and the only thing was just to be a part of the team and be the best teammate I can be.
Yeah, and it really sounds believable coming from him. There's no doubt. It's just a kid with a bright smile, a thirst for life, and to go out and play the game. Couldn't be more excited. By the way,
George O'Leary at UCF wanted to run him out.
What a dummy. What a dummy he was. Hey, I was thinking about Shaquem last night. So remember he went and did that Microsoft thing with their adaptive controller? We were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So Microsoft had this project where they worked on an adaptive controller for their Xbox system, which essentially will allow people like Shaquem or like me who don't have use of two hands or in some cases full arms or whatever it may be to find a way to play video games. And so they are just now releasing this, I saw, and they sent me one. So I got to try it. I started hooking up my Xbox last night. Bear in mind, I have not played really video games with any...
Since Asteroids?
Well, since the original Nintendo. Sega Genesis had three buttons. That was too hard for me.
Space Invaders?
Yeah, I played a little Bond on the N64. But other than that, like, I really haven't played video games since I was, like, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old.
Wow.
And so I started...
And it was hard because you had a hand issue.
Yes, hard because of my hand, right? Yes. I basically could only play the original Nintendo because it has few buttons and I could do it all with one hand. And anything that requires the use of your left thumb, mine's not opposable anymore, so there's nothing I could do. So I start setting this thing up last night for the first time. I get the Xbox all set up, and I'm like, okay, take out the controller. Bear in mind, it's been at least 18 years since I've even picked up a video game controller of any kind.
You put your Super Mario Brothers hat on that you have?
Yes, basically. Awesome. Yeah, my overalls, the whole thing.
Cool.
And so I'm like trying to get this thing set up, and I take out the controller, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, why does this darn thing plug in? Like, does it have a USB in it? Or mm-hmm. Oh, it's wireless, you total idiot. Like, it just took me... I won't say it took me a minute. It was not that long, but it was probably 10 seconds of, like, turning it over and turning it around. Like,
is the cord tucked in here?
Oh, right. Now I get it. It's wireless, you dummy. It's probably on Bluetooth or something.
Oh, man.
At that point, you walked up to the TV to try and turn the dial to change the channels.
Stop it. Yeah, I had to put it on channel 3 and then make sure that the UHF was off. Right, I know how to do all that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but I started getting it set up. I'll try to play it tonight or over the weekend, but the adaptive controller thing is awesome.
Cool,
so I'm pretty
excited
about
it. That's really cool.
Yeah, so
thanks,
Taylor,
Microsoft.
I'm coming for you, man. You just wait until I learn how to play Fortnite. I am coming for you. I'm going to destroy you back there,
right.
I think. Or maybe something like that. Anyway, pretty cool. Forgetting about me, the cool story of Shaquem. And that just made me think of him because he's been active in that. And cool thing that Microsoft is doing. And a cool thing that he is. The type of thing that I think is going to help set him apart, make him a really special dude. All right, let's answer your questions. You ready? 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Any question on any subject? Sorry to everybody who's hanging out on hold.
Don't we have open phone lines tomorrow?
We will. We'll have a lot of opportunities. So if you were hanging on hold, we'll do open phone lines tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour. Up next, we answer any question you want. 710-710 is next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question, Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
Bunch of good questions on me discovering what it's like to play video games in the modern era. I haven't even gotten to the games part of it. It's just setting the thing up has already led to big discoveries. So yeah, didn't even dawn on me that the controller would be wireless.
Can Howdy pick out your name?
Hold on. Here's another one that I didn't quite expect.
What's that?
Well, they trying to figure out where the games were. Get them on CDs.
Close your ears, Taylor.
Oh, you just download them, Taylor. Obviously. Like, I just hadn't... I don't know. So you have to, like, sign in, and that's a whole process. I hadn't.
Well, if you haven't had
that.
Video games in a while, that's no problem.
It's been 20 years.
Sure.
Since I've actually owned a video game system, it's been since original Nintendo.
I'm really excited for you.
Which was bought, I think, when I was in fourth grade.
And yes, I absolutely think Howdy should choose your screen.
Well, there is a question here that came through. New contest, jerks, pick Salk's online name for gaming.
Ooh. I like that.
What do you think? What should it be? I think they assigned me something right when I picked. It was like Aeneas Ocean or something.
Like Aeneas Williams?
Maybe.
Aeneas? What?
I don't remember. Aeneas. It was something like that.
You need one adjective, then okay. You need a noun. They usually shouldn't go together.
Can I be ninja?
No, there's already there's a really good ninja guy out there.
As we all sat in Salk's office watching Twitch yesterday. Yeah,
we watched Ninja play Twitch.
What do you think?
I thought he was great. He's certainly the best Twitch player.
How about we couldn't tell Fortnite if it was player. Him and Taylor said, oh, yeah, that's his voice.
That was amazing.
Wow.
Twitch so it's, player.
Yeah, so you were watching. No, you're Ninja. Ninja's a player on Twitch playing Fortnite.
Get that right.
So we're watching these people play Fortnite, and it's like, oh, hey, look, Ninja's actually here. He's on because his name is there.
Right.
We're like, is that really him, or is that like another Ninja? Taylor's listening, as Kyle just said, and it's like, oh, no, that's his voice. Look, he just knew his voice.
That's Ninja.
Amazing.
Which I guess, like, we could identify as SportsCenter anchor or something.
That's
true. Like,
yeah, that's Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah, that's Kenny Mayne.
Yeah.
No, it's cool.
No, it's just Ninja.
No, it's great.
All right, well, if you have thoughts, certainly. AngryElf425. I don't live in the 425.
Say AngryElf one more time.
Salk should be FierceDwarf99. LeftyElitist999. I'm sure these will keep coming in.
Yep. Got any questions, or are we just going to get your name?
710-710, powered by Coors Light. All right, questions. I love this question.
Next question.
You love it?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I want you to really think about this. What is the ideal thickness for a burger?
Whew.
Isn't that a good question?
Patty? Or are we talking
patty? Let's start patty, and then maybe you could do both. Jeez, I only thought of it as patty, but Kyle, you're right. It could be both.
Have I had you over for burgers at my house before? Does that happen?
It's been a while since we've gotten the invite out to the Heward house.
Like you've had,
and I'm not complete. When you had us over to your house, you cooked like five Daniel's burgers.
It was great.
Daniel's steaks.
Yeah.
Steaks.
It's been a while. I mean,
quite a spread.
Because I go thick. I'm not
you
afraid.
Like a thick
I don't
burger.
Have. A friend of mine has the he swears by it. You know, makes a standard, whatever
like,
it is.
Like quarter. Squishes it
yes,
down.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Williams
like it's
and
a
Sonoma.
Tool
yes, Tool makes standard patties. Every one of them, he is meticulous about it. I like it thicker than not.
I want it thick. Yeah. Absolutely. Because I want it basically raw in the middle. I want my burgers to be basically raw in the middle. At the very least, rare. I want the middle to be bright red.
So do you pick pretty good hamburger then?
Don't care. Don't care.
Well, thankfully, Heather picks the organic.
That's true.
Grass-fed.
Yeah. Yes, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I made burgers last night. I brought them out, and Heather was like, you have to put that back on. I was like, no, it's perfect. She's like, no, it really isn't. I was like, fine. I'll put yours back on.
No, it's a health
hazard. No. Not with burgers. Fine. You can just eat it.
Yeah, you're talking to a man that's eating raw chicken.
I know. That's insane.
I've eaten raw chicken, eaten raw egg, obviously eating tons of raw meat.
Eat raw salmon.
You and Andrew Zimmer, man. Straight
warriors. I don't mind raw. Yeah, that's okay with me. Especially with burger meat.
It's just tough tummy, Mike. Maybe that should be part of your gamer tag. Tough tummy, 710.
I just put your name into the Wu-Tang name generator, and it's Smiling Assassin.
Good. That's
me. How you feel good about that?
Always smiling.
And total assassin.
How do you spell
some suggestions
assassin?
For Silky Salky?
Angst Warrior.
Ezra Pound.
Grand Canyon Chin.
The Fuzzy Gamer.
The Little Grump 206.
Dark and Dank.
Always Right 666.
Droning Dwarf.
Pretentious Elitist, of course.
Wallingford Wendell 78.
Oh, that would be nice. Wendell would appreciate that. He would love to have me named for him. That'd be good. Maybe I'll do that. Poor Wendell. Abbott for the whole burger. How thick should that be? See, I think that you want thin, because I don't like it falling
I don't
want
to have to squish
right.
it to, like,
I agree with
okay.
that.
Okay. Hold on. This is great. I like this. I like this road.
You don't want to have to
What kind of bun? You go to the store. What kind of bun are you buying for that
burger? Well, recently I have been using buns in my burgers. It's kind of cut them.
Yep.
If I'm, you know, I'll tell you. You know what has a great, one great is an actual, like a baguette. So you can shape your burgers and make them sort of longer, narrower, and then get a baguette.
No,
toast the baguette.
That's weird.
It's so good, though.
That's not a burger.
No, it is, and it's good, and it's delicious.
Cross the line and look like a McRib almost. Nope, don't do that.
It's not a McRib. It's a burger.
At that point, just have French dip.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with
it. I told you about the place near my house, Lenny's. They do a French dip burger. So you get a regular burger on a on like a French roll, and they give it to you with the au jus sauce, and you can dip the burger in the in that.
It's kind of like having a chicken strip you can dip into your Coke.
It's not like that. That's so disgusting.
See, I like the big, thick burger. Therefore, I like big buns, and I cannot lie. I need the big buns.
Come on, man.
I need the big bun. Don't give me no small bun with a big burger.
Jerks, which is worse, buns. Kick it or pun it, or grown men playing Fortnite? Well, I don't know yet. I haven't played.
We'll find out.
Bro, Fortnite's no joke. Don't, like, just jump.
I'm getting right in there.
No, you're not. Don't jump into question. Fortnite.
Taylor, can I just jump right in, or or do I need training?
Oh, he says you can jump right in. So you're just going to make a lot of people real mad.
Play, Super Mario Kart.
Why? I'm, like, on their team. Oh,
how
not
do you feel when a novice sits down at the blackjack table and totally messes up?
Yeah, but hold on. I thought they would just kill me and move on.
No.
Yeah, well, now they're down, and now their team's going to be in trouble.
Isn't there, like, a beginner league or something?
Oh, yeah, you can do a random beginner league for sure.
Well, I'll do that. I'm not going to jump in some advanced league.
I mean, they're still going to get mad at you.
Why?
Because there's a bunch of people, a bunch of millennials who will go into these beginner leagues and just wipe people out.
Dominate.
Well, that seems really stupid.
Yep. Well, it's the way of the world.
How do you think Heather's going to like you on Fortnite all day?
She's going to love it. I think she's going to really
enjoy it. My day is going to be work,
I'll tell you, man,
naps, and Fortnite.
That's not going to be me at all. I even just looking at the screen for like 5 minutes, I was like, man, it's really bright. Too much color on here.
Don O'Neill indoor shades.
This really hurts my fingers and forearms. And my neck and the nerve in my back is going to go so bad.
Hey, you told me about all the hobbies of the kids you're looking at for Colorado, Nebraska. Yeah. What do they all do all
day?
They
all love video games.
Video games.
All they play all day.
Video games and chill. All right.
Is that it?
Sure.
Hey, Kyle, thanks for reaching out to the PD so I don't have to be nervous Nelly old man traveling. So we'll be all set tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm working ahead here so that Brock isn't texting and calling. And
I'm not going with Jimmy Hoffa is in my chin 45. That's not happening. I just want you to know I'm not doing that.
Come on.
This is Seattle. We would go with DB Cooper's in my chin. Come on. Let's be clear. DB Cooper's money's in my chin.
All right, little Sherm, what you got?
All right, we got to run. Sure. See you guys tomorrow morning. 7 a.m. Till then, hey.
Bart.
See everybody.
It matters. Get to the chopper!